Today's daf is daf Samach Gimel, and we're holding in the middle of the sugya that is coming to explain the case that's given in the Mishnah that is meant to illustrate Tarbit. Now, you'll recall that the Mishnah gave us a fascinating case in which somebody gives money to purchase chitim at the rate of a dinar zahav per sa, and the deal is that the guy's going to provide him with these chitim over the course of the year when he wants to take collection. Now, the price goes up to 30 instead of 25, 30 dinar. And he says, okay, now I'll take delivery now because I want to take a profit so that I can invest in wine, which is currently going for 30, which is a great price. So the guy who doesn't have any money says to him that, look, instead of that, I will give you the wine at 30, whenever you wanted to take delivery on it. So when the price of wine goes up, I'll give it to you. Then that is awesome, even though there was already Yotzei Deshar on the wine. And the question that we had was, why is the first one mutter? And the second one, usher, because the first time, he was also going to be taking delivery at a higher price. And over there, we said, as long as it was Yotzei Deshar, it didn't make any nafkamina whether the guy actually had it. Now, we had a number of approaches as to why that would be true yesterday. And we were holding in the middle of that. The first approach that we said was that there's a problem of it's not being, this thing is not considered to be mutter because it's lok yisro habali yado. That's the point. In other words, since at the time that I'm taking it, there's no money that's involved, you don't have it, if you can't get it, then it's not enough that the shahr was yotze, because for all intents and purposes, what you're telling me is, this is what I'm reading clearly and what happened, you don't have cash. And therefore, you're willing to pay me money for me not to take the cash now. How are you going to pay me money? By linking it to a commodity, which you can't afford. So now if the commodity goes up, and I'm paying you, but I'm glad you're paying me. You're paying me back more than was owed. And the only reason you allowed me to do that is because you didn't have cash. So you're paying me for my cash. So that's called the difference between the two cases. Therefore, according to the first approach, which was Rabbah's approach, it's important that we recall this because this is terminology that we're going to be using throughout the sugya. The first approach is that... That's another issue that we'll get to later. Okay. But the correct terminology is that there's one case in which yeshlo is not a problem, never would be a problem, and if you actually have the chitim, then there's no problem. The problem is over here if you have to give money to buy a chitim. So in a case where I'm actually giving you cash, that's called isuro baliyado. So if isuro baliyado, then that's your problem. As far as I'm concerned, I want the chitim. You went and got the chitim for me. I paid you. You know exactly where to get it. I mean, you're a businessman. You want it to use for something else. I have no idea what's going on. You're paying me back the chitim. That's not a problem. But in the second case, when you want to translate the value of the chitim that you owe me into wine, you don't have money. And since you don't have money, what it turns out to be is I'm charging you for allowing you to keep my money. That's what it boils down to. And you're giving me a better commodity contract than you really could afford in order to be able to pay for this money. That's how it is. So, the Shiloh was over there that it wouldn't have helped, says Abaye, for the Mishnah to have that case, because the halacha is that even if he had wine, if it's not Yisro HaBali Yado, that was a mistake that you were saying. Because if it's Lav Yisro HaBali Yado, then the bottom line is that what you're really doing is you're paying me for my leaving the money with you. What's the nafkamina? It's not a transaction that's a purchase, a transaction that's a loan. Because Abaye understands that the meaning of Yisro HaBali Yado is a question whether we're looking at this as buying or selling. If I hand you over money and I'm taking a contract on chitim, that's buying and selling. But if you're coming to me and you don't have money, and you're telling me, let me translate that into a commitment to supply you with chitim, what I hear is that, okay, you're going to keep my money in exchange for that. So then that's a loan. So Abaye did not accept the pshat because it was Lav Yisro HaBali Yado. And therefore, it doesn't matter whether you do have wine or you don't have wine. And that was indeed the braita that Rabbah himself had brought, you see. And that was the problem. And I'm reviewing this because we're going to need to remember that braita as well. And that was exactly the case it was over there. The guy walked over to the goren of the other person, which means that there were chitim in the goren. And he says, give me my money. And the guy says, you know what? I won't give you your money. I don't have cash. But you need the money in order to buy chitim. I'll supply you with chitim. No problem. That even there it was usur, even though yeshlo. But the Mishnah made the entire transaction problematic only because yayin ain lo. So that was our first problem. Abaye came up with a wild approach to explain the Mishnah. It was the only approach that he could come up with, which even though it seemed extremely strange in the words, as the Gemara showed that it doesn't make sense in the words, is that what actually happened over here is that there was a transaction in which we gave a guy, in exchange, in place of giving him the money that he wanted to borrow, we actually gave him wheat that was worth the money he wanted to borrow. And then to turn the money into cash, you repurchased the wheat at a profit, basically, below market price. So we said, okay, technically speaking, the guy has wheat. Who cares where he got the wheat? Got the wheat from you. Fine. He desperately needs money, and he's willing to sell the wheat at below market price. So now we got the money. In the end, when he's going to be paying back that money, then it's going to be called haramat ribit. So even though mikra din it's butter, if it's haramat ribit, it becomes also. That's the case over here. The case in the Mishnah was not, the Mishnah started at the point of the 25, but he'd already given him basically wheat that had been worth 30, purchased it back for 25. So then we have, if you're paying him back in wine, and you have that wine, it doesn't look like you're paying back more money because you're just paying back payroll. So it does, we don't translate that into, he took 30, and it took 25 and paid it back 30. But if you're going to pay in cash, then it's a problem. Now, that didn't fit into the Mishnah at all, no matter where we look. The Mishnah had said the shahr was 25, not that the shahr was 30. And the Mishnah had said that I want to take delivery of the chitim. In this case, there was no delivery of chitim. He says, now, where's the money for the chitim that I want to sell now? He says, I want to sell these chitim. Here it was already sold. Nothing fit into the Mishnah. And that was Rava's problem with the Mishnah. And today, that's where we're up to. The last, or the penultimate line, on Amud Beis, Amud Beis, Amud Beis, Elo Amar Rava. I'm going to tell you the pshat in this Mishnah. And I'm telling you that Kishachivna Rav Hoshaya Nafik Levati. When I die, Rav Hoshaya is going to come and greet me from Olam Haba. I can tell you right now, because what I do is I explain Mishnayot according to the Brayot of Rav Hoshaya. The Mitaratzin Amatni, not only this Mishnah, I do this all the time. Because since Rav Hoshaya's Brayot were the norm in the Brayot, Rava always used to search out an equivalent Brayta that he could then apply to a Mishnah, so that the Mishnah would work out like the Stam Brayta of Rav Hoshaya. And I used to do that all the time. And I think he owes me one. So here's the Brayta that actually explains our Mishnah. And it turns out, with this Brayta, we don't have the problem that we had on the original shot of Rava, which is Lavki Yisro HaBaliyadov. And here's the Brayta. Harei Shaya Noshevech Aviro Mona. Guy owes somebody 100. So it sounds exactly like the other case. He goes over and he stands on the goren where the guy has wheat. And he says, so again, it's a rather obvious remez to the fact that he's trying to make a deal. He knows the other guy doesn't have money. He says, okay, I want to buy chitim. So the guy says to him, look, I happen to have chitim. So what I will do for you is, you obviously want a good price on this chitim. Hint, hint, in exchange for allowing me to keep your money. So what we'll do is we'll take the current shahr of chitim, and I will guarantee delivery of chitim all year long on that shahr, up until the value of the money that I owe you, right? So it's say, va'asan alai, make me chayef to you, kishar shalach shahr. Now comes the time to sell those chitim for profit-taking. So he comes back to the guy and he says, ten me chitim, shani rotze lemochran v'likach b'miayim. I want to sell, take my profit, and now buy in wine, which is just coming out, and I can get cheaply. So the guy still doesn't have any wine, any money, so he says, well, it just happens to be that I have wine, I'll give you wine. So yeshli yayin shani noten lecha, leave the money with me, and now I'll give you a contract on wine. So we're just switching commodity contracts at all time. So you go ahead, save our son like a shah shalach shah. Now comes the time for him to take his profit on the wine. 6 months later, he has money in the car. So now he comes back and he says, okay, give me the take delivery on the wine because now I want to sell the wine because I'm interested in buying some oil for my next contract. The guy says, okay, I have oil. Okay, and now I'll guaranteed delivery of oil. So, and do this kishar shalach shav. You can keep doing this ad infinitum in terms of switching commodity contracts, and the guy keeps taking a profit, reinvests in the next contract, takes profit on that one, reinvests in the next contract. And this, of course, is exactly how the markets work. Money never changes hands. All that we do is, this is what we're doing. So the rule is here, in this brayta, not like the brayta that we quoted yesterday, that I just mentioned to you. The rule over here is, in all of these cases, kulam im yesh lo mutar, ein lo asur. If he has that commodity, then it's not a problem.
But the Mishnah says, ein lo yayin.
No, but the Mishnah was talking about purchasing. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah, I thought you meant that. Yes, the Mishnah of the yayin, 100%. So this fits perfectly into the Mishnah. If you have the wine, then you can switch a commodity contract. Because what we look at it is as if you actually purchased the wine. So you'll say, but what do you mean? No money changed hands. That's not true. There was no kinyan. That's true. But there would be Misha Parah. If the guy agreed to keep my money, exchange for wine, which is in his house, so then, basically, if he says, I changed my mind, so I'll take him to court for Misha Parah, which means that it's my wine until such time as the guy can actually cancel me, accepts Misha Parah. Not really mine, legally, but certainly it doesn't look like a loan anymore. It's very, very much a buying and selling. Buying and selling, we don't make a gezeira on. So this is real buying and selling. Therefore, if he doesn't have the wine, and you'll say, well, I mean, you could always translate that money into value because, after all, the wine is available at a posted char. No. Because then we know that he doesn't have the money available. So the whole point is he wants to keep money that he doesn't have available. So then you're focusing on the problem of turning it into a loan. But if there really is a commodity that is traded, an actual commodity, not that we're using this as an instrument that's linked to the commodity. So if there's an actual commodity, then it's buying and selling. So we have over here for the first time a recognition of the difference between commodity trading and the recognition of a concept called an instrument, which is linked to a commodity trade, but which is really never transfers ownership on anything real, which is basically playing in the market. I'm playing the shah. That's what I'm doing. So I'm constantly translating these monies that I owe you into new investments in the market, always hoping that someplace I'll catch up. Okay, that is called keeping somebody else's money and going ahead and playing with it, and then paying him for that right. So, in that case, I can't do it, okay? I can only do it if there's a real commodity that I can look at as a buying and selling. So that means we basically have things very, very clear at this point. And it says Rava, let me spell it out to you. Now, there are words here that don't make any sense, and Rashi takes them out. And these are the next four words. Umay lakach, lakach b'halva'ato. Now it says Rashi, this is nuts. Somebody who didn't know what he was talking about attempted to insert the entire Braita of Rav Hoshaya into the Mishnah. There's no need to insert the... We're only looking for one transaction. That last piece, which was the Yayin, is the only part that is meant to be parallel to Rav Hoshaya. The person who was reading this thought, but wait, the Mishnah doesn't talk about a loan. The Mishnah says you bought. Well, obviously, says Rashi. Of course it says you bought. That was the first transaction. You did buy. Now we switch to the wine. Ah, the wine, that's connected this Braita. Why in the world did you think that the opening case in the Mishnah also needed to be a case where you're paying back a loan? That's irrelevant. We're talking about the first case. But the person who wrote this in thought that, gosh, the Mishnah doesn't say it was a loan. The Mishnah says he took his money and he makes a deal. So how could he take his money if the whole point is there's no money there? Well, it means when it says lakach, it doesn't mean he really took his money. It means he took for the loan. Okay, I mean, but of course, says Rashi, forget about that. This is irrelevant to the Mishnah. That's not to say that there aren't those who have a perfectly reasonable explanation, but the entire approach is different. Omar Rava. Let me spell it out to you, says Rava. I just told you the Braita of Rav Hoshaya. There's three separate issues. I mean, they're really all boiled down to the same thing, but says the Tosfos HaRosh. But I'd like to explain to you so that you can see each detail separately and then understand the direct implications for our mission, okay? There's three things, really, that we see here from Rav Hoshaya very clearly. First of all, Shema Mina. We see from here the Ma'amidin Milva Al Gabe Perot. You're allowed to take a loan that you have against somebody and to view as the payback of that loan existing Perot, some type of commodity, which will now be delivered at the current value price, despite the fact that the price is going to go up dramatically. So it means you can turn something into an option to take delivery later of more expensive commodity. Okay, that's number one, because that's what happened over here, three times. And we do not say, as the Braita said yesterday, which I just quote, we just reviewed briefly, we do not say that it's not similar to a transaction because there's no money involved. If the commodity is there, we'll focus on that in a minute, then Shema Mina indeed Hudi Yeshlo. Obviously, it's not really a separate point. It's all in, but we need to make it very clear that when do we say this? Only if there is money or commodity. But if you have neither money nor commodity, and this whole thing is an electronic trade, then you're getting into loans and paying money for extended loans. And that would be us. And we'll see that this is not necessarily true according to everybody. That's why we need to separate it out. So what Rav Hoshaya's Braita implies is the fact that no money changes hands is not necessarily a problem. The second part is, when is it not necessarily a problem? If a commodity is there, and that can change hands, at least figuratively. And furthermore, Shema Amino, we also see from here, which really is a direct corollary of the cases, that Rabbi Yannai is right. Shema Amino ita l'Rabbi Yannai. We see that Rabbi Yannai's principle is correct. The Omar Rabbi Yannai, because Rabbi Yannai pointed out that ultimately, ma li hin and ma li demehem. Actually, it's a very important machlokas. Rav Omar, osim amana beperot. You can pay money in, despite the fact that there was no real kinyan, because most are not konos. You pay money in, and you trust a person that he will deliver you based on those peirot, even though they're valued at far more at the time that you take delivery, even though you don't own the peirot, because there was no meshicha. So you would think that boils down to a loan. But it isn't a loan, because the guy can't cavalierly change his mind. He would have to go through the whole mishapara, and so you took money. So if you took money, even though you weren't kene, but it's okay. However, in osim amana bidamin, you cannot, however, do it in the other direction. In other words, you can't, if you're going to now give money back, and you're going to peg the money to the value of the fruit that you're buying. Oh, no. That's playing the market. What you're doing is you're saying, I'm buying shares in peirot at this rate. I'm betting that the price of peirot are going to go up, and you're going to give me back money based on the peg. If the price goes up, I'm going to get more money, correct? So that you cannot do, because since you're giving money and you're taking back more money than you gave, so then you're not taking delivery of a commodity. You're basically trading on a linked instrument to a commodity, which is betting. That's all there is. You're putting money on the table. You're saying, okay, you know what? Here's my money. I bet that the chitim are going to go up. Okay? So the other guy takes that. Fine. If they go up, he's going to pay you more. That's what you're pretending is going on. He wouldn't do it, except he needs the money, so he's paying you. Of course the chitim are going to go up. Whereas Rabbi Yannai says, Rabbi Yannai's reaction to that is, who cares? What difference does it make to you whether you trade in the actual peirot or whether these peirot are turned into cash? Does it matter? I mean, it's the same thing. Why would we care? Mali hein, mali demehen. What difference would it make to you if you have the actual peirot or if you have the value of the peirot? So therefore, if what you're going to do is take back money, then you could take that money and now reinvest it in something else. And you can keep doing that. But that was the whole yesod of Rav Hoshaya's braita, wasn't it? The guy is going to supposedly supply you with peirot. Okay? So you come to take the peirot. He doesn't really have the peirot, the chitin. So he says, okay, so I owe you this amount for the peirot. But that's not what he says, of course. He says, well, all you needed to do was to sell them. How about if I buy them from you? Right? But what that boils down to is, all right, the price of the peirot went up. I'm going to give you more money because they went up. Says Rabbi Yannai, who cares? Basically, if he would have given you the chitim, and then you would have sold back the chitim for the more money, does it matter to you? Let's say he would give you the chitim, and he said, you know what, but I'd rather buy those chitim for you for this price. Is that a problem? No. So it's the same thing. If he could deliver the chitim, it would be okay. So if he could deliver the money of the chitim, it's okay. So once you say that, then he could take that money in exchange for another deal. The deal this time being, you're buying the yayin, if he has yayin. Right? Okay. So therefore, I say it doesn't make any nafkamina, and that would mean that Rav Hoshaya's braita now holds water. I don't really have to take delivery, ever. That's the point. Because the commodity and the cash value of the commodity boils down to exactly the same thing. So why are we making these artificial distinctions? We're dealing with buying and selling. We're not dealing with loans. That's the point. Asks the Gemara, but kulam im yeshlo mutar. How can Rav understand? What is Rav saying? No, you can't. We just had a braita that said beferush, you go through three separate transactions, chitim in exchange for a loan, yayin in exchange for the loan now, which was the chitim, and now shem in exchange for the yayin. And the braita just said, in all of the above cases, it's fine. There's no problem, right? What do you mean there's no problem? You never took delivery. According to Rav, you can't make a deal in anything but the purchase of the peirot. So what's Rav going to do with that braita? Did anybody give in any money over here? All that it was that he translated the value of the chitim, supposedly, into an abstraction that was blinking on a screen, and he used that to buy now a new... Where's the money? Omer, Vun Omer Rav. Well, Rav is going to have to understand it, that he actually was mashach. He took delivery of the commodities. He's like, well, that's ridiculous. I mean, if he took delivery, so then what's the finish? I understand. So then you're telling me there's a buying and selling each time. I mean, so then obviously, Trichala Meima, I understand. There's no condition, not at all. Couldn't mean that he was Moshech. By the way, Tosfos brings that when it says kishamashach, it really doesn't mean to take delivery. It means mashach, he does an action to make it appear that what's happening is not loan, but zvini. It's not that he was really taking it into his rishus. But nonetheless, it's not a chiddush, because then it's not even similar to loans and rebate. It's only similar to buying and selling. Okay, not everybody agrees that that's what kishamashach is, but that's how Tosfos says. So you're right. Okay, so Rav will say, you know what it's talking about? Here again, this is a fascinating Gemara. There is no kinyan called Yichid Lo Keren Zavit, obviously. There's no meaning to it, legally. However, here it takes on meaning. Why? Because it means that there's something physical that we're dealing with. That's the point. If he says, okay, your chitim are being stored in section V6 of the warehouse. Oh, you mean we're talking about real chitim? If you're talking about real chitim, then that's you're right. Then that's a buying and selling of a commodity. Absolutely. But if we're talking about some theoretical chitim, you know, so then there's nothing there that actually refers to an object. That's why there are others who learn different ways, but that's the simple explanation of it. What we're looking for is to make this less similar to abstract loans, and remember the point of ribit is to abstract value from something. If you recall, this was the entire idea of the Masechta up until now, was the fact that there were two separate issues. The value of a thing, we had all types of questions. It's got to be returning an actual object. The ownership of an object. Can an object be yours when it doesn't have any value? We recognized, and in Baba Kama, we recognized that there were two separate concepts. There's value, and there's objects. When we get to cash, we suddenly realize there's something that's called abstract value. Now, the point over there is any object you can make money on any way you wish. Rentals. On value, you can't make money because it is value. And therefore, you can't sell value for value. That was the issue of the rebate. So over here, as long as we're dealing with an object, we don't begin to trample over rebate issues. How do I make it an actual dealing with an object? If really it's buying and selling, says the Gemara, Tzricha LeMeimar. Even if it was Mashiach, Tzricha LeMeimar. Does that look like a loan? There's some Avak Ribit that's there. There's some Michzik Ribit that's there. There's some Haramat Ribit. Remember, these are all terms that refer to elements of Ribit and Rosh and Rabbanan for slightly different reasons. There's Haramat Ribit that's there. Okay, says the Gemara. So let's take it down one notch. There was no thing that even resembled a Kinyan, but there was a physical entity called Chitim that had an actual location in space, section V6 of the warehouse. That's enough. So if as long as I'm miyachid lo keren zavit, it means that we're not dealing with a value. We're dealing with a commodity. Whereas if you don't do that, we understand that what's really happening is you're dealing with values and linking them to the cost of commodities, which is basically now allowing you to take money off of something that never really did anything in the world. Nothing at all. All it did was sit by somebody else who's not paying you for it. And that's not the meaning of transactions in the Torah. Right? There's no such transaction. A transaction must be part of an actual contribution on some level, an interchange, but not just betting. Okay, so if that's the case, according to Rav, we have no raya for Rav Hoshaya. There is indeed, he claims, a reality to this exchange. Why? Because it has a place in space. And Rabbi Yanai, who claims, what difference does it make if it's a value or if it's an item? If I'd be able to give you the item, I should be able to give you the value of the item. Says Rav, that's absolutely not true. There needs to be something more that I can look at as the transactional thing. And it needs to have, therefore, physical reality. Is enough, no. Says Rav. Oh. Rav Yanai says, what do you, you don't need anything. There doesn't need to be anything here other than the fact that it exists. No. But nobody needs to take it seriously as a transaction. Right? There's some of the Achronim point out that if indeed you're not Miyakele Karen Zavit, so maybe according to Rob, you could say that the guy would say, look, I never took it seriously, that you're really going to take delivery of the thing. So it's not even similar to a transaction. Because there's not even Misha Parayef, as we're going to see, if I don't take seriously your bid. So then it would mean you have absolutely no kinyan at all. And the truth is, generally, in commodity transactions, that's the way it goes. Nobody thinks that somebody who put a bid in on the computer for commodity is ever going to take delivery of that thing, right? So then there certainly wouldn't be any Misha Parah on changing your mind about giving it to you. This is, well, it's not a smachta, it's just an agreement. It's a verbal agreement. It's less than a smachta. So this is the less than the amana. He's saying amana, which is this idea. Oh, you can make an amana b'peirot, and that's exactly the way that they put the argument. The way that Rav and Rabbi Yonai put the argument is the closest that we get to an actual description of the issue of markets, because that's what an amana is. I'm trusting you to take delivery at a later date of a commodity that you could get out of delivering.
Why? So
because I only gave you money. And all we have is an agreement. So you could always change your mind about an agreement like that. That's called amana. Okay? They are discussing the issue itself. We utilize this far as to discuss what the din would be if you're paying back an actual loan. Obviously, we could divorce the overall question, the basic question, from the whole discussion that we had in the Mishnah about loans. The Mishnah, as the Mishnah usually does, takes a concrete example that utilizes four or five different elements in interactions and forces us to tease them apart and now understand what the problems are. The machlokas of Rav and Rav Yonai is, forget about the complexities, the transactions. Can you or can you not buy commodities? That's what I want to know. And take delivery in money instead of in commodities. Simple question. Machlokas Rav and Rav Yonai.
The Gemara is answering Rav Oshi's question, right? Not the
Bible. Yes, today's bright.
Yes,
correct. Today's bright was the problem. We'll get to the other bright. Shmuel Amar. Shmuel says, look, there's really no problem because there is a shita that actually avoids all problems of rebate in cases like this. And that's Rav Yehuda's shita, which now introduces a whole brand new issue. When you're dealing with commodities, you have no real guarantee of making money. And that's called tzadachad beribit. You enter into a transaction which may or may not make you money, which may or may not involve you in rebit. That is mutter upfront. Now, in this case, if Lamaisa, I choose to simply give you the chitim that you buy, so then we're all agreed. You bought the chitim from me 6 months ago. You're taking delivery today. That's not a problem. Now, it says beferish. I mean, in the Mishnah later on, and our Mishnah said, the shah comes out, that's fine. You could sell on that basis. So that means that only it's your choice now that, okay, the guy may end up paying you. So if he pays you, he took money and he gave money, and he's giving back more money. That's tzadachad beribit. So tzadachad beribit anyway is mutter, and therefore this has nothing to do with the questions that you're bringing me a case which doesn't involve 100% ribit. And since, therefore, it's in your hands, this is how Tosafot determine, I'll give you the details of this machlokes in a moment, since it's in your hands, because if he wants to, he could simply give you the peirot, there's bichlal, not a problem. And in such a case, in Achinami, Rabbi Yehuda, but what if you don't know the Rabbi Yehuda? That's when we get into the issue. That if you hold it, tzadachad beribit is aser. So then, says Rav, then this whole thing wouldn't have applied. That's how I understand it, says Shmuel. Now, there's a major machlokes here about how to learn this. Because let me point out to you, as Tosus points out, that according to this logic, sa'ab is sa'ah should be completely mutter. I'm giving you a bottle of milk, and I'm taking a bottle of milk back. Now, the bottle of milk may end up costing more when I take it back. It may end up costing less when I take it back. So that would mean that according to review, the whole concept of sa'ab is sa'ah doesn't appear. We never find such a thing. Of course, there's an issue of sa'ab is sa'ah that's irrelevant to the din of tzad echad beribit. Rashi's solution to that is that this halacha that we're being matter over here of tzad echad beribit is only in sales, not in loans. And therefore, since over here there is no loan involved in the case, like there is by sa'ab asa, I'm lending you a bottle of milk. I'm not selling it to you. Give it back to me. So that is indeed a loan. So there's a problem. He's only saying tzadachad ribit is mutter, where it involves the gezeros about haramat ribit, and so on and so forth, but not if there would be an actual loan. If there's an actual loan, I'm also made that tzadachad ribit is asur. Okay? Tosfos disagrees with that, and he says later on, we're going to see, we haven't gotten there yet, that tzadachad ribit alib Rabbi Yehuda is okay even in loans. Therefore, there's got to be another explanation for the sa'ab sa'ab problem. Says Tosfos, the other explanation is that you don't understand tzadachad beribit. Tzadachad beribit does not mean you may not make money. That's not the point of tzadachad beribit. The point of tzadachad beribit is that one or the other party is able to turn this into something which won't involve ribit, such as this case, where it's in your hands to decide whether you're going to deliver the chitim or you're going to give him money. So if you deliver the chitim, there's bichlal nothing to discuss. So now if you want to deliver money, okay, fine. So then it's irrelevant, because ultimately this is a transaction that might not even be no day reading. But where you're dealing with sa'ab and sa'ab, it's not in your hands to change the market. How are you going to decide whether milk becomes more expensive? And that's not called tzadachad beribit. And there may be combinations of these two shitot, okay? But in any event, Joseph's pshat is very, very different. It means it's up to you to create, up to either you or him, to create the ribit, then we never get into ribit in such circumstances. Exactly. Okay. So this is Shmuel's approach. If you hold that there's that the brayta could be going like Rabbi Yehuda, so then I can never ask a question from it, because obviously I wasn't going to leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. What is Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya. Harei shayan noshe b'chaveiro money. A guy owes now $100,000 to his friend. He does not have any money. So he goes over to his friend who's been threatening him to take him to court and so on. He says, look, I'm telling you I'm getting in money. In 3 months, I'm getting in money. What I'm going to do is, I know that you don't believe me anymore because I've said this so many times, I am going to sell you my field. And here's the contract, I'm selling you my field with the understanding that the sale is only chal now if I end up not paying you within the 3 months. So now you're covered 100%. Either you're going to get the cash in 3 months, or you're going to own my field retroactively. Who gets to use the field during those 3 months? That's the question. Because if, in exchange for my cash, I also got 3 months of use of the field, then that sure looks like ribbons, right? In other words, I'm allowing now the lender to eat the production of the field. I'm going to make another $20,000 based on letting the guy keep $100,000 for another 3 months and not suing him right now, correct? Mm-hmm. Okay, so here we have, and this is where Reb Yehuda comes in, because Lamaisa, if it turns out to be a sale retroactively, it never involved rebate. So there was a possibility that this sale would not be rebate. Therefore,
he might take the field as
he sold. I might not pay you. If I don't pay you, so then it's just a regular sale. So in this case, what's the din? So Harei Shayano Shebech Averu Mana. This is so fascinating. It's absolutely impossible to even close one's eyes for a moment. It's so excited. It would be like closing your eyes going head down a ski slope. Very dangerous. So what happened over here is he makes a Soda Amecha. So Bizman Shah Mocher Ochel Perot. Then it's Mutar. Okay, if the seller continues to use the field, so there's no problem, obviously. But if the buyer, that is to say the lender, then it's a problem. Says Reb Yehuda, it's never a problem. Reb Yehuda Omer, Af Bizman Shah Lokeach Ochel Perot. It's Mutar. Why? Because who's to say that this is anything but a transaction? But it turned out that he didn't pay. Okay, but it could have turned out that he did pay. It could have turned out that he didn't pay. And in that case, we are not involved in a transaction that involves rebate. Who the heck makes a transaction? We may not make any money off of it. So that's not called rebate. Omer Rebbe Yehuda, I'll tell you, there was actually a famous maisa, Bapitas Ben Zuni. Are you going to argue about that too? Are you going to fight Rebbe Elazar Ben Azaria? And over there was Lokeach Ochel Perotaya. Omer Lo, well, we'd never fight that. I mean, Misham Raya, that's a heck of a Raya, since it was a Mocher, it was Ochel Perot. You know, so you've got your facts wrong. You bring us a Raya from an event that never happened. Velo Lokeach. And we explained over there, my Benayo, what indeed are they arguing about? The Chachomim and Rebbe Yehuda. Omer Abaye, Tzad Echad Beribit, Ike Benayim. The point over here is that Tzad Echad Beribit. No, Rabbi said, that's not the point between them. The point between them is Rabbi Yehuda would never have been matir you to eat it where it really turns out to be Ribit. That's crazy. I mean, then you really are figuring out a way, which is a good chance you'll be making money on your money. Suppose you know the guy's going to pay, and he's trying to buy off the time. So you say, I don't believe you're ever going to pay me. Okay, we'll give you the field. So meanwhile, you make $20,000. So that's a classic rebit story. Says, Rebbe, would never be matir that. He's matir the case where you agree to return the $20,000 in the event that you pay the money. It's just a question whether, meanwhile, you can say, listen here, buddy, you know darn well you don't have any money, so don't try to put me off another 3 months. It's basically my field now, and I'm going to, you know what? If you pay me back, I'll give you back the money that I'm going to be getting now from the use of the field. That's in the machlokas. And there was what Reb Yehuda was matir, that if you're taking ribit amanat la'achzir, so then the Tanakhama says, what's the difference? Right now you're eating ribit. You want to take rebate and then return rebate. Meanwhile, you're going to take rebate. As Rabbi Yehuda says, the deal is constructed in a way that there's no rebate. If you pay, I'll pay you back. And if you don't pay, it's really mine. So what's the problem? But he never would have said that you can actually keep the rebate. Oh, my Rava. Now, Rava says, you know, Rabbi Yanai is basically saying something very fundamental. What he's saying is that when you come to pay back something which was meant to be a commodity, and you're allowed to give the commodity despite the fact that the money is worth more now than when it was purchased. Because it's just a simple deal. It's a real commodity. It's buying and selling, right? Says Rabbi Yanai, once we recognize that when it comes to the time of the payment, forget about it. The construct of the deal is clearly buying and selling. Now it comes to take the value. What I'm saying is, kesev, Shove kesef, it's all the same thing. What do I care whether you transfer the money to my bank account or whether you deliver the commodity? Can you explain to me what difference that could possibly make? So that was the yisod of Reb Yana. It makes no difference. As long as we look at the way the deal was constructed, the actual payment is irrelevant. That was his yisod. And the mele, he allowed us to deal in commodity trading despite the fact that what's going to be paid is cash, right? So now that Reb Yana said, Mali hein, umali de mehen, amrina, we're ready to go ahead and to make a statement like that, that at the time of the Piraon, it makes absolutely no difference, then I'm telling you that the opposite is also true. That Mali de mehen and Mali hein, nami amrina. We would say exactly the same thing in the other direction. So basically, what that means is that poskin al ashar shebeshuk va'afa pisha'enam. What this means is that since all that we're doing over here, when I am defining a value, is a value that can be translated either in terms of something abstract or in terms of a commodity that is that abstraction, then as long as a value has been posted for a commodity, I can use that as an exchange rate for my money. Which means that I can go to you, and you don't have anything, you don't own anything, and I can say to you, I will give you now money in exchange for something that you don't have, which basically equals money. Because the posted value is the value of the money that I'm giving you. Now, so you'll say, well, obviously, the Mishnah said that beferish. You're allowed, we said that before, you're allowed to give somebody money, even though he doesn't have it, as long as Yatzah Hashar, right? Because, after all, he can always get it. The Chiddush over here, explained the Rishonim, is that there's a machlokas later on, and we're going to see that there are three different price postings. Things get more and more complex as we go. The reason for this is that there's two ways of looking at it. Yeah, no, this is serious stuff. The reason that this is true is because it depends how you look at it. If what you're saying is, there's no problem, you can always get something at that value, that's not necessarily true. Because consider, let's say there's been a posted value of 25 sela per sa'a of chitin. Right? So I make a deal with you. I want to buy from you 100,000 saw of chitim on that basis. If you go to the shuk, the moment you buy the first 1,000 saw, guess what's going to happen? The price is going to change on the spot. So therefore, what kind of value are we talking about? We're talking about a posted value. A posted value may be very local and not something that you're really going to be able to take delivery on anyway. So this is a machlokas later on. We're going to see there's different ways in which we can define a market value that would really be reliable to actually buy the stuff on. And that's a function of the local supply level, not only the current spot market, right? Spot markets are very different, even commodity trading. Yeah, it's a spot market. If you're lucky, you can get fine. That's all great. But you're not going to peg a commodity trade to a stock, to a spot market. You'd need to actually go ahead and deal with the trade in order to use the spot market. The Chiddush over here is, in Reb Yana, is that I'm not telling you that the issue is simply that you can actually get the commodity. You don't need to actually get the commodity anymore, the way Reb Yana looks at it. That's what Bob is pointing out. Once Reb Yana says that values and values of commodity are the same, value of cash and values of commodity are the same, what's the difference whether you can get it or you can't get it? The purpose of the Shar is to define a value, not to define your ability to actually get it at this point. That wasn't the issue. So it means Reb Yana opens up the door to an entirely new way of looking at the whole sugya. And the moment that you would make a transaction of that sort, all you're saying is, let's turn my money into some other definition of value. What difference does it make? It's all the same, after all. Doesn't matter whether it's locked in cash or whether it's an actual item. So Mamela would turn out that there would be a major difference between the way Reb Yana looks at it and between the way we thought about it up until this point. Okay? Rashi goes into great detail about the usage of the words Mali Hein Umali Damehen. Because what we did just now, as Rashi points out, is we inverted. When we said Mali Hein, Mali Damehen, and now we say Mali Damehen, Mali Hein, it now means the exact opposite. Because the Mali Damehen over here is the fruit. When we're talking about buying the fruit, we're saying Mali Damehen of the cash. What's the Damehen of the cash? The fruit, the parent. Right? So the reason we invert it is because that's the whole point that Reb Yana is making. What we're doing here is we're simply using a reference depending on whether we're looking at a buyer or whether we're looking at the seller. So whenever you're talking about the pisuk, I'm defining that that's in terms of the lokeach. Whenever we're talking about the piraon and what you're paying back, there we're talking about the mocha, right? So depending on what the case is, the it is going to be one thing, and the value of it is going to be another thing. So before we were talking about the it is the actual pre, and the value was the money, because we're talking about the payment. Over here we're talking about placing the order. Therefore, it's exactly the opposite. So that in this case, the it is the money, and the value of the money is the payrot. Because according to Rabbi Anai, we've abstracted it, that I can look at it either way. The only difference between the it and the value is relative to who's dealing with it. So if I'm placing an order, so then we're talking about it, the money, and the value of the money being the payrot. If we're talking about a payment, so then it's the seller who's delivering. There what Rabbi Anai meant was the it was the payrot, and the value was the monetary value of the payrot. But it really doesn't matter. There's no longer a concept, says Rabbi Anai, of some objective concept called it, or an objective concept called value. Commodity and cash is interchangeable, according to Rabbi Anai. So what is the it and what's the value? That's the whole beauty of this discussion. It's so exciting. It's absolutely stunning. You see the different levels of abstraction and the impact that it has on the actual transactions. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. You need to see this whole in Yamad the Boy Lamad the Chasina. You know, Yasuk Bemili the Nazikin. That's the only thing that makes you aware of what's really going on. Gosh. Eisvei Rav Papa Ravuna Breder of Yeshua LaRava. There's a big problem with that. Because if that's true, then why in the world does it make a difference whether you have the commodity or not? I mean, it says beferish kulam im yesh lo mutar im ein lo asur. Why did Rav Oshaya say in all of the above cases, if he actually has it, then it's okay? I thought you said that cash and value are the same. So why does he actually have to have the commodity? You said according to this, you could place an order based on a spot price. Well, my love, it's no comparison. The Brite of Rav Oshaya is dealing with the problem of a halva'a. He started off with the words, Hareshaya no shebech haveiro mana. And now you want to turn a halva'a into something. That's what you said, right? Obviously, there's a big difference between something that never was set up as a buy and sell transaction. So there you get into problems of haramat rebita. You can't just simply say, even though I can't get it. What do you mean, even though you can't get it? You never bought it for me. All that happened is you lent me money. How all of a sudden are you making more money than you gave me by lending me money? If you had bought something, you're 100% right. Makes no difference. You bought it. It's worth more. What's the difference if I give you the thing or I give you the money? You're 100% right. But that's not what happened over here. What happened over here is some kind of fakery allowed me to give you a loan of $1,000 and to get back $1,500. That's all I know. Over there, obviously, there needs to be this reality to the transaction, and not that it should be theoretical. What I was talking about, when I pointed out the implications of Raviana, I was talking about entering into a commodity deal, which is not a loan. And you're confusing the two. Again, you understand that we knew this all along. The point was that now that we stripped the Mishnah of its complexity, forget about loans, purchases. Let's just talk about the issue of commodities. Machlokas, Rabbi Anai, and Rav. Now we have to put it back into the prices of the missions that we have. Okay, now how does that add up when it comes to the actual cases where no money changes hands? Right? Okay. There indeed it becomes more complex. Okay, we got mixed up for a minute. Rav and Rav Yosef, Dharma Tavaya. Rav and Rav Yosef explain that there's a different mechanism here than what you guys think. My time at Omer Rabbanu poskim al shar shebeshuk ve'afa pisha einlo. There's the issue that you fail to look at is the question of the benefit that's derived. And this is fascinating. Because remember the Ribbit Rabbanan in the Mishnah was referred to as Tarbit, not as Neshek. Here that becomes very important because Tarbit is the question of what I got out of it. Right? The Neshek is what the other guy lost out of it. It was a question of different focus. It says Rabbi Rav Yosef, you know why there's no problem of a Ribbit where the guy doesn't own anything and there's a Shar Shebeshuk? Because even though he doesn't have anything, the Omar lay, because the guy says to him, I don't understand what it is that supposedly I derived from you. Shekila tivutev, v'shad yachizer. You know what? Take your great favors that you're doing me, and you could throw it out on the thorns, because I need you like a hole in the head. Maya Hanedi, what good did you think you did to me by giving me this great contract of delivering chitin at current market prices? The point is, I could go out if I wanted to, and instead of giving you the money, I would take the money on my own, and I would go over to Hini Vashili. Hini Vashili were the supply areas that were in the area of Pumbedita, and that's actually where Rav and Rabbi Yosef were living, so they referred to Hini Vashili. In other words, wherever I could get that kind of value for my money.
Where else?
Yeah, and I don't need you. I could go to Walmart, basically, is what it's saying. So I don't understand why in the world would we look at this as rebate if there's nothing to be gained, right? In other words, I understand if I pay a person, if you can look at it and you could say, well, look at that. You know, I mean, basically you paid him money and that money, in exchange, you got something back. What did I get back? I don't understand. I can go and get the same thing in wherever I want. I can buy a Bezula. I can get it cheap. I don't need to go to you. I mean, what's your problem? Well, with that logic, you could say the same thing about Saul Bissau, right? You could say, I don't understand. What's your problem? A bottle of milk? Why in the world should there be a problem with Saul Bissau? He could also say, what kind of favor are you doing for me? Throw it all out. The Amalei chiti de katri bach lavai. What do you think? I got a problem that my chitim are going to go ahead now and rot in the storage room. Is that the problem? Nothing would have happened to my chitim. If I hold the chitim now, so I would have had the chitim myself. So now you're telling me, but listen here, I'm giving you back a whole thing of chitim. But now they're worth so much more. Yes, dum-dum, they would have worth so much more if they would have been in my storage room too. So now I gave them to you, and you're giving them to me back, and you're saying, well, I mean, I'm overpaying. Thank you for your tremendous profits that you're giving me at my allowing you to have the favor of borrowing my chitim when I could have kept them in my own pantry, and they also would have been worth more money. Do you see any tarbit over here? Was there any value that was gained to me? So it's exactly the same time, isn't it? There's no value gained. No, that's true, but we're not discussing the question of value gained in halva. We were only saying this for in a sale again. Hatam halva'a hocha zvini. There's two issues that are marking you from ribit. The mode of the transaction, whether it's created as buying and selling, or whether it's creating as halva'a. That's one issue. The other issue is, given that it is a buying and selling, is there additional value that you're getting? And I'm saying no, there's no additional value. This is available anywhere. But what about brokerage fees? You're saving on brokerage fees. That's the point. In other words, this guy is willing to supply you right now with that deal, and he is going to take care of all of the business, and he's going to store it, and he'll deliver it, and so on. That costs money. So you can't say, there's no additional value that I'm getting. There certainly is additional value. You saved yourself brokerage fees. You gave him money up front. Right? Okay, so don't say that there's no additional value. You got a lot of extra value. That should be rebate. Omar Le, you know what? You're right. You have to pay the brokerage fees. I'm not denying that. I'm not. And any cost that would be involved that you'd be saving would actually be rebate, that he's giving you in exchange for the advance of your money. 100%. I don't deny that. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, cash, talk, and that's all that counts. Nobody does you any favors if you have cash. They only do you favors if you don't have cash. So Zuzi de Inche, Inu Avdi Le Safsirute. A man's cash is his best broker. Very nice saying. Right? So if you don't have the cash, you're going to need a broker. But as long as you wave the money under somebody's nose, you will ultimately get the deal that you want. That's the point. If it's available, the broker's not a magician. And so if he's getting the thing for you, just take the cash and wave it at somebody. You'll find somebody that can give it to you at that price. Therefore, you're saying, how can you call something tarbit when I'm getting back exactly what I gave? Nobody's doing any favors. So you can't call a non-favor transaction the tarbit. Ain't no chinami, you'll say, but there's no tarbit in a bottle for a bottle or a container of wheat for a container of wheat, but that's constructed along the lines of a loan. So there we have to look at the bottom line. So you're saying, but I didn't really gain anything. That's true, but it looks like rebate. You gave X amount of money and you got back X plus money.
So we can go back to Heter Iska is sort of a loan type thing into a business activity.
Yeah, I don't think we should get into that yet. Okay. Let's wait. Rabbi Rav Yosef, the Amr Tarvayim. Rabbi Rav Yosef further point out that Haimad Yoiv Zuzi Atira Harifa Tzorich is Chazuya Levei Dari. Now, again, we're going to see later on, as I mentioned to you, Tara is Shara in Aramaic, right? So a Tara simply means a Shara. Now there is a Shara Ir, there's a Shara Hashuk, there's a Shara Hashuk in Krachim, there's a Shara Harifa. A Shara Harifa means that it's the first posted price at the very beginning of the season when the grain is just being processed. Now what people would often do if they're in the market for actual grain, they would go out and they would give cash to a number of different suppliers at the Shar Harifa, before the market is settled. No, the Shar Harifa is low because it's now people are ready to move. It's moving now. There's going to be tons of stuff coming. And I'm not sure yet how things are going to settle out, but I'm willing to take my chances if I get the cash now. The problem is that the buyers also, because of the fact that everybody's processing and they are not yet sure of the quality of the product, what they'll do is they will open contracts with money at 10 different processors. And at the end, they'll make a decision to pull back from everyone but the ones that they want, which, of course, creates a sense of doubt among the sellers as well. So the seller is not saying megadah. So this is now what the issue that we want to raise is. If you're trying to buy a contract at the Shar of Harifa, in which things are sharp, you need to be physically present at the actual grain processing plant. What? Lamai, what the heck would you have to be physically present to get a contract? I mean, it's not available for you to take delivery yet, so what do you mean? You're not going there to be kainet, you weren't kainet. You gave money. And if it's to be makabel misha para, so then giving money is enough on a contract, is enough to force the seller, if he changes his mind, to be makabel misha para? So kilo mitchazinami makabel ale misha para. I mean, after all, you gave cash. Cash always gives you a right at least to sue the guy for changing his mind about a contract. Even if you never took a kinyan, so what's the point of physically coming into the processing plant? It's not true. The point of your being there physically is in order to force the guy into a misha para situation. But mandi yoiv zuzi atira harifa lebeitrei tlata yoiv. Let's be honest. A guy who takes out a contract at that first shar always takes out more than one contract, and everybody knows that. So when you're taking deals, you take deals from more than one person. And the seller knows perfectly well that you're doing the same thing. And therefore, if you sit there, you're actually present in the plant, and you're looking things over, and you tell the guy you want it, then he knows that you're really serious. And then if he changes his mind, it'll be Mishapara. But if not, if not, the guy is going to say to you, if you come to collect and says, oh, gee, I sold it. You sold it? What, are you crazy? You took money from me. He'll say, well, you didn't show up. And I figured, you found better quality grain, and you decided you're going to turn your back on me. People do that all the time. So I went and I got another buyer, and I sold it out from under your nose. There's no Misha Parah, because that indeed is the normal transaction. So I went ahead, you went and you found the Shapir Medina Veshakati, you took it. So what was I supposed to do? Sit here hoping you'd buy my grain. If the issue is smichut adat, then you don't really have to be in the shop. This is entirely a psychological issue. I mean, so basically, if you've turned it into a human transaction, that's enough. If it's business and it's theories and it's papers, people don't take it seriously. If somebody goes over to you and talks to you about it, then you take it seriously. Okay, change his mind up. That could be a handshake. Handshake is even more. But that's why they use the handshake for Muslim brothers. No, that's Tkias Kaf, that's the name of the Dharma. What's it is? All kinds of issues of Tkias Kaf, which is why we do head to the Dharma on Tkias Kaf. Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, but over here, if you talk about it to him face to face, then it's a human transaction, and then you have to get into Misha Parah. I'm sorry it took so long. Hello, Amar Rava, Kishachivna. I tell you, Rabbi Hoshaya is going to come out Navak Levati. Because I'm always mitaratz the matnit in kavate. The Tani Rav Hoshaya, Harishayano Shebechavir Oman. V'holak v'yomen agorano. Yomar, ten li mo'otai, shani rotzo likach bevchitin. V'omar li chitin yesh li, shani noten lecha. Tzev v'asa'an alai kishar shalakshav. Higi hazman chitin linkor, omar lo, ten li chitin, shani rotzo lomokran likach v'am yayin. Omar lo, I just happen to have yayin, shani noten lecha. Save Asana like a Shah Shalak Shah. Fine. Yes, Ban Yayin Luko. Okay, deliver the Yayin. I want to sell it. For the Kakbo Shemin. I just happen to have Shemin. Shani Notin Lacha. Save Asana like a Shah Shalak Shah. In all these cases. In Yeshlo, the actual commodity, Mutar, if Elo Asur. Omar Rava. Shema Mina Min Ravo Shaya. Tlat. Shema Mina de Ma'amidim Malva Agabe Perot. The law amina de lo kisura baliyadahu, veshmamina avudi yeshlo, veshmamina itel and rabbianai. De om rabbianai mali ein, mali de mehen, Diitma. Rav amar osim mamana beperot, vein osim mamana bedamim. Rabbi Yanai amar maliyem malik dameyem. Mitzvah. Kulam im yesh lo mutar, which makes no sense. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yanai. I'll leave it to Rav. Omer avuna. Omer Rav, it's talking about over there, bishem mashach. He bishem mashach. It's regal ameyma. Kegon shichet lo keren zavita. That too is enough. Shmuel amar, what's the problem? Amar Rabbi Yanai. Amar tzadakat beribit mutar. Since you could deliver payroll, that wouldn't be a problem. So then even if you deliver money, there's no problem. Without coming on to Rabbi Yanai that money and payroll are interchangeable. Tetanya, Arejaya no shebek aviro mane, vasalo sadeu mecha, bisman shamocher okel perot mutar, but lokeach okel perot asur, Rabbi Yanai mer, af bisman shalokeach okel perot mutar, omele revira maaseva baitas benzoni, shasasadeu mecha, opira beleza ben azaria, and it was lokeach okel perotaya, omele shamraya, that was a mocher okel perotaya, lo lokeach, my binayu, Amra bayat sadechad beribit ikabeinayu. Rava amar, no, it's the ribit amanaz lachzir ikabeinayu. Amar Rava hashta di amar Rabbi Yanai. Mali hein mali demeyem, you could say the exact opposite. You could say mali demeyem and mali hein nami amrina, which would mean that you could be posik on a shar shebashuk, even though it's not a shar, which we'll see later on of klavoy and harvey, where you can actually get that material. The alpha p she'ein lo. Eitvei Rapapa, Ravunabrei, Rav Yashur, Rava, doesn't it say in the Braita that only if kulam im yesh lo mutar, but if ein lo asur? Amalo, well, of course. That's talking about a halva. I'm talking about entering into a commodity contract, which is vini. Rava, Rav Yosef, Damra, Tavayo, my time, Omer, Abana, Poskid, Al Shar, Shabbat, Shuk, alpha p she'ein lo. Because the Amale, I understand what kind of. I'm not getting anything from you. That you're telling me what? There's some benefit over here. Where's the ribit? Where's the tarbit? My honestly. And instead of giving them to you, I could go out myself and have his mom bezvenina, but you never shile bezula. Amale abayel of Yosef, elemiata, chabimutulavotza bezah. Because you say exactly the same thing. I mean, what do you think would have happened to the chitim if I hadn't given it to you? But chitim de kapche ba'aklava, you think? Amalei, atam halva, ah, achazvini, same issue. Amalei, adabar avalarava. Boy, lemate of zusi lesafsira. Amalei, fine. So maybe he does. Deka yoyle nami. Ravashi amar? No, you don't need a safsira when you have cash. Zuzi deinche iu avid leis absoluta. Rabba v'rav yezid abit avayo, aman di yoiv zuzi atira chavifa, tzorek lot chazuya leve dare lamai, ila mikna lokani, ila kabuli alei mishapora, who cares if you're mitchazi, you're also mikava mishapora. Not true. Li olam lakabela alei mishapora, man di yoiv zuzi atira chavifa, he always does more than one location, he gives it to two or three places. So then the seller figures, oh, this guy's really serious. So some chadaite, but hello, he says, look, you know, I got a piece of paper with a check. I mean, dashkatzak peri shapira midi v'shakalta. Here's your money back. Then actually, it's the humanity of it that is the issue. And I feel hashkei b'shuka v'omale. Also, it would be some chadaite. Okay, let's do our review. Omer of Nachman, quality revita, kol agar natele asur. The Omer of Nachman, I mind the Yoiv Zuzi the Kiroa, because the Arba Arba. The Yoiv Marle, look, I'll give you Chomesh Chomesh if you give me the money up front. So then eat Nugabe Shori, let Nugabe Osir. I should hope so, Pshita. Ah, lo tzricha de eat le Ashrai Bamata. So ma de temek, even eat le Ashrai Bamata ke Achi Avobni, o Achi Emtsam Avte Avdami. Given the mechasri guvaina, it's the same as not having it at all. The Omer of Nachman, I man the oziv pshite mechavri v'ashkif beitufaina. So ibif deishad da'ato a mechayev ladurile. But ilav, it's a matana mealmo with the oiv light, and you can keep it. Echi dami v'deishad da'ato a, Omer v'ach v'redur of Yosef, if it's by a count of tens or fives, I mean, so we understand that he missed one or added one. So Amar le Ravacha b'Rei the Ravel Ravashi v'Inish Tifim. How are you going to explain that? My, so Migzal Gazi Avle Bechesbon to return it. Tatanya, Hagozel Kavirovi Vlia Lo Bechesbon Yatsa. And how about if he's an Inish Dati Mi'alma, the Lord Shakim, a Torah Bade in his life? So, and then what? I'm like, well, Dilmina Shakrina Gazle, the Omar Le, Ki Yaziv, Ploni, Pshita Minach, Avlale Bechesbon, and I'll pay you back. Omar of Kanavi, Yativ, the Pshoi, Pirke, the Rabba, Visham Eit, the Ka'omar, Kari, Kari, the Loyadana, my Ka'omar. But the Kamrava, Amrilo, with everybody left in the room, what was he talking about pumpkins today? Omruli Akikam Arab Rava. Hi man the objects of the Ginoi Akari Vikaazli at that point Asura Kari the size of a Zarta for a Zeus. For Omale, well I'll give you Bnei Garmida. So then Itnu, Shari, Letnu Asur. So obviously that's like any other case of taking the money in advance and giving back more. No, because Mada Tema give the Mamela Karabu Shapitam. Kamash Malan that it's usher kimanki aitana the tanya aholech lachalovet izavel exoset rechelav velirdotet kavarto. But okaverov amar lo, okay, let's make a deal. I'll sell you whatever it is for X. Okay, so mashi izay chovot machulach, or ma sherechalai goes izot machulach, mashi kavarti roda machulach. That's mutter because there's no necessary indication that indeed it would be a profit for him. But how about if he says to him, Imamar lo mashi zakhovot kach vekach machur lecha, mashi rechalego zot kach vekach machur lecha, mashi gevarti ro'a kach vekach machur lecha asur, v'af agav v'memeh lecha rabu, kiven de letnu ba'i sha'ata asur. Ikiri armi omar rabu kid v'memeh lecha rabu shapidon. V'otanya kach vekach asur, Atam la vineka rav, the shakar la ivy atachrina bedufte. But also, minei the actual pumpkin karovu. The kishakar la hai, the loati achrina bedufte. Omra, by a shori le le inesh, le meimar. Le kavri, ele karba zuzi akavita the kamra, itak for brishutcha, and iakros yele brishuti. Omra, rav sharvi la abaye, is it that karovu, the skarbra kokla have said who? Omale, no, because giving him a kabbalah le zula, so then he can also take a loss, and that's called korv lezevel lezevel. Hamal v'eschavero lo yidor v'chatziro chinam v'lo yiskar mimeno b'pachot v'pnei shuhu ribit. Om Rav Yezir bar Minyumi, Om Rav Nachman, af opi she'amru, hadar v'chatzar chavero shelo midaato, eino tzarech la'alot oskar, but if he'll vow v'dar v'chatziro, then tzarech la'alot oskar. My Kamashman, the Mishnah says, I'm Abbas Kaver, Lo Yidor Hatzerokinon, Lo Yiskarmi Menu Bachopin, and should repeat. Now, Imimati Tinava Mine, Hani Mila Bachotzer, the Kaimeli Agra, Gavar David Lamega, Abachotzer, Lo Kaimeli Agra, Gavar David Lamega, Amalo, Kamashman, Ikri Amar, Yazbin Yamar, Nachman, Afti Shomer, Darbachatz, Kaver, Shlomi Daito, Eno Tzereklado Toska, if you tell him, Halveni, and as a result, Arba Chatzirai, then Tzarek Lot Lasachar. So, Mandi Omra Hil Vos, Koshken Halveni, where he grossly mentions it. Mandi Omra Halveni, Aval Hil Vos, Lo, my time, Kivan de Mi Ikara, Lava Daiti de Achi Osve, Let Lanba. Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Tokif Avda, the Inch, the Maspu Zuzi, Avdi Bor Avidita. Omra Le Rava Bere Daddy, how can you do that? Amalei Hanukkah Nachman's really. Amar Nachman Avda isn't even worth whom crazy. Amalei Emad Amar Nachman Gagon Daro Avdei Demraki Bekuvi. But what about Avdei Achrina? Miyama? Amalei, well, as far as that goes, Anu Kyodor of the Neil Barav Katin Amar Rav's really. The Amar Hatokev Avdosh Chaviro. The Asobo Melacha Patur. The Nechale the Lo Nistre Avdei. Amalei Ani Mile Heche the Lo Masi Bezuse. But my given the masik was in the Caribbean. I mean, this is exactly what Rabbi Yosef Ben Yomi Amar and Nachman Paskin that Afa Pish Amru Adar B'Chatzaka V'Rosh Shalom Yidato Eino Tzarek La'alot Oskar. But if there's an outstanding loan, and then Dar B'Chatzaka V'Rosh Shalom Yidato Eino Tzarek La'alot Oskar. Amar Le, okay, I give up. Adribi.